Hello and welcome. Over the course of the next couple of weeks, your social media timelines are going to be polluted with wide-ranging commentary regarding the recent and unprecedented leak of a draft opinion from the Supreme Court of the United States. As you are likely very much aware by now, the opinion laid out the court's intention to overturn Roe v. Wade, the decision which federalized abortion back in 1973. Now, after 50 years, that decision is facing review under a conservative-leaning court. Much of the commentary you're going to hear will pertain to the egregious nature of the leak, it was indeed egregious, and the necessity to track down the individual or the individuals who are responsible for passing those documents to the press. I mean, just who could be behind such an assault on our democracy? Surely, that person must be brought to justice. Many will rightfully conclude that the person was an activist who wanted one thing and one thing only, and that's mob justice. The kind that would make even Black Lives Matter rioters blush. You think the George Floyd trial and the Brett Kavanaugh hearings were bad? Well, you ain't seen nothing yet. They say there's nothing like a woman scorned, but I'd like to offer an addendum. If I've learned anything throughout my career covering politics, it's that actually, there's nothing like an un-woman scorned. You've never heard that word before, un-woman, and that's because I made it up. It's a term that I use to describe what is left over after a predatory education system and culture have successfully made their way through the mind of a young girl, carefully training her to reject and to fight tooth and nail against the very things that make her unique and powerful and ultimately happy. Femininity, beauty, fertility. These are our God-given traits, and oh my, what a power they give us. Think Helen of Troy, Cleopatra, legends and historical accounts of empires that have clashed and fallen at the bat of a woman's eyelash. But since the 1970s, when the federal government took over our school system, young girls have been systematically taught to hate all of those things, to view beauty and femininity as a perverse order established by men. To put it simply, girls are brainwashed now to fight against themselves, against their biology, and against the very things that make it all worth it, like family. Like children. I can tell you that there is nothing like the pitter-patter of my toddler's feet when I get home. There's no greater music in life. No greater reassurance, by the way, than the little kicks that I feel of my little girl growing inside of my womb right now. I tell my husband that I already know her personality just like I knew my son's when he was growing inside of me. My daughter already feels calmer, more delicate, more sensitive, and she's a bit of a procrastinator, I think, like her mom. There was a comment on my YouTube page early on in my media career that has never left me. The comment was left under a video of me discussing all of the ills of feminism with radio host Dennis Prager. I told him how, despite all of the perceived glamour of my present life, hanging out with Kanye West, invites to the White House, introductions to former presidents, despite all of that, the best part of every single day for me is getting to come home, making dinner for my family. The beauty of domesticity, which some women will never know. Buried in the YouTube comments was one woman who expressed her gratitude. I'm paraphrasing here, but what she wrote was, "Thank you for taking the time to warn women about the dangers of feminism. I found out myself how much of a lie it was too late. I am now 52 years old, I am unmarried, I am childless, and I take pills every day to fight my depression." Her comment broke my heart. And it is all the commentary that you need regarding what is about to happen next in this country. Because whether you are pro-choice or pro-life, I hope when you take a look at the faces of the scores of rabid female protesters that are going to shriek and march and rage for days on end outside of the Supreme Court building, I hope that when you look into their faces, you recognize the un-woman, a woman that has bought into a lifelong lie and has, as a result, had every bit of life's joy stolen from her. A woman who has nothing left to offer but rage and fear and the howl of loneliness. Only an unwoman who has spent decades fighting against her own fertility until suddenly realizing that it's no longer an option. Only she could be so hateful and so broken as to march for a perceived right to kill millions more infants in the womb. That might sound harsh, but it's true. Women fighting against children is unnatural and it's demonic. The unwoman is unnatural and demonic. Pray for her. Pray for them. Pray especially for the younger women who are being brainwashed to become them. Pray that they all wake up before it's too late.
Greetings and blessings, and happy Mother's Day. to all you moms out there. My Mother's Day gift to our precious Pris, our First Lady of Legacy, is a day off. So sit back and relax as we discuss a rather timely topic in today's lesson, entitled Motherhood Under Attack. That was Candace Owens on her May 4th podcast entitled Supreme Court Leak and the Rise of the Unwoman. I'm not sure how you could have missed it, but it appears that a brief outlining an upcoming Supreme Court decision was leaked to the press, indicating that they are fixing to, as we say in Texas, fixing to overturn Roe versus Wade, a 1973 Supreme Court decision legalizing abortion in America. Now, as battle lines are being drawn, let's look at a time when motherhood was under attack in the Bible and look at some very real encouragement and wisdom for us today, if we would. So, let's turn to the Old Testament, Book of Exodus, chapter 1. O holder of the all-powerful clicker, change that slide. Thank you. And you should see a verse. And in fact, that verse is from the Book of Exodus. Chapter 1. First, let me set it up first. Joseph, who found favor with Pharaoh, has passed away. And there is now a new Pharaoh who doesn't have any connection with the Jews and certainly no fondness for them. And he decides to get really, really tough with them. In fact, he goes so far as to call in the midwives and command that as Hebrew women give birth to boys, they are to kill them. The girls, they can keep alive, but the boys, they're supposed to kill. But the midwives fear God and do not obey. So that when Pharaoh catches wind of this, he's a little upset, calls them in, and he asks, "What up?" To which they reply, "The midwife said to Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women, for they are vigorous and they give birth before the midwife can get to them." So God was good to the midwives, and the people multiplied and became very mighty. And because the midwives feared God, he established households for them. What an excellent example for us today. Because, as we shall see, sadly, as a nation, an excellent example of trusting and obeying for us today. Because if we, as we shall see, we have not, as a nation, trusted nor obeyed when it comes to the sanctity of human life. So, for our life application today, you always like to apply it to life, right? That's the power of the word. Apply it. Don't just read it. Don't just memorize it. Apply it. So we're going to do that right now. For our life application today, let's take a very sobering look at the impact of abortion on America. A most excellent clicker person. Change that slide if you would. Thank you. Since the Supreme Court decision, over 63 million abortions have occurred since Roe v. Wade in 1973. America saw more than 1 million abortions every year between 1975 and 2012. 63 million, that's a lot of people, but I don't just like with big numbers, big amounts of dollars, or that the fact that we owe $30 trillion in debt, it just escapes us. So here, I want to put these numbers into context for you. Very sobering indeed. According to the 2020 census, you know, the one we just had, there are 331 million people in the United States. Therefore, 63 million people represents 20% of the population. That's one in five people. One in five people are not here. Because decisions were made that allowed us to make that very tragic decision. Let me put it into further context. That is the equivalent of California, Florida, and the District of Columbia. California, Florida, and the District of Columbia. You're like, well, it's only three states. We have 50. No. Let's do this. It also equals Texas, Florida, Wyoming, Vermont, District of Columbia, Alaska, North and South Dakota, Delaware, Rhode Island, Montana, Maine, and you still have just 60 million people. How does that, they're just not words. They're just, that's just, those numbers are unfathomable. So you wonder why we're having to pay $15 an hour to fill fast food jobs? Because we aborted the parents whose grandkids would have been taking those jobs. And now, with the children who somehow managed to be born, we are witnessing extreme gender confusion with this whole transgender thing. And the problem with that, I totally understand people being who they feel that they were created to be. However, Bible says he created them man and woman. Two sexes. One or the other. Here's the problem with gender confusion. How on earth can you continue as the human race if men want to be women and women want to be men? Everyone wants to be the opposite sex, but it takes two to procreate. So now, regardless of what climate alarmists say, overpopulation is not the problem. In fact, it's just the opposite. We face what they are calling a demographic winter, because we're not replacing ourselves. Thank you, Elon Musk, for doing your part and having six kids. However, at this point, I'm making light of it, but it's a very serious situation. And more serious yet, I have to at this point, on Mother's Day, acknowledge. And I would be remiss if I skipped over it, if I did not acknowledge the fact that Mother's Day is a bittersweet holiday at best for so many women who have either lost a child for whatever reason, or perhaps they were not able to even have children. So, on this blessed Mother's Day, this most sacred of holidays, I wanted to share with you a takeaway that you will see simply this, that God's grace is sufficient indeed, especially when it comes to this. So, oh, anointed clicker person, please, if you would just one last time, change the slide and you're going to see a picture, because I wanted to share just such a story of mercy about a very special mom who has 7 kids. So she has certainly done her part. However, she's been a huge blessing to me. She's helping me keep my hair under control, coming once a week and helping me. So I shared with her, you know, about the Supreme Court decision and asked her what she thought about that. And she shared with me that, in fact, she had had an abortion before having her last 3 children. Now, what she testified is what a gift these children have been to her. This is not them. This is a stock photo, but it's representative of, she had 2 girls born on February 23rd. What a great day. That's my birthday. It's not the same year, of course, but the same day. And a little boy named after a prophet. And they are truly, truly amazing kids. As I call them, the lovelies, then they are lovely indeed. So, Lord, I simply want to close in prayer today to say thank you. Thank you for Mother's Day. Thank you for the moms. Lord, we're praying for motherhood, all the moms that are really under attack right now. And we need to rise up and surround them and protect them and bless them, because they're such a blessing to us. And Heavenly Father, we just simply pray that as a nation, we humble ourselves and pray. The Lord is, there's no condemnation. There's no condemnation for people who've had to make some pretty tough decisions in their lives. But you are always looking for an opportunity for us to repent and be saved, to turn back to you, to humble ourselves and pray, and you will heal our land. And there's still hope. There's still hope. And we, Lord, simply pray that we as a nation, individually and collectively, we rise up again for our moms, for the moms out there who are just under such tremendous attack, and that we support them and we promote them and we come alongside them, and we allow them to do what they've been called to do, and that we may see a resurgence in our nation, a true revival that we had talked about earlier this year. What an awesome thing. And so, Lord, thank you again for your grace and your mercy. We do not deserve what you have given us, your love, being such an awesome, awesome gift. So I'm praying for the moms. May you give them special favor in this time, and that they, we as a nation, turn back to you. It is not too late, and that this be the resurgence of a new era of hope and of joy, pure joy indeed, for your glory, in the holy name of Christ Jesus, your Son and our Savior. Amen.